Tonight, there's only one place to be, Fox News Channel. In this critical moment, with the balance of power at stake, this is the midterm election everybody is waiting for. Only Fox News Channel brings real insight, smart perspective, and the all-important results minute by minute. Every key race, every pivotal moment, as America decides, we're there every step of the way. Tonight, stay with special coverage starting at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel.
Everybody, what is up? This is Anthony on the Smart to Death podcast. I am here to talk to you guys about New Japan Power Struggle. That was the event that, if you are in the United States, was this morning. For me, that was 3 a.m. I did try my best to stay awake during it. I watched most of it live, but then I moved on and ended up not watching all of it live. I ended up seeing all the way through Ishii versus Suzuki and fell asleep and moved on, but I wanted to do a brief recap for you guys. So, if you're watching on live, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch, on Periscope, on Mixer, thank you so much for joining my recap. If you are watching, or listening, I'm sorry, on our audio release, thank you so much for listening. I hope that you've subscribed to our podcast. I hope you enjoy it. And if you do like our podcast and you're listening on audio, please make sure to go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star Frog Splash rating and review. Take the Bump podcast. I definitely am a bit tired, but it was worth it. It was a very, very good show. So let me minimize my chat here so I can read you guys at the same time. What is up, Metal 2006? If you're watching live, if you can help me out, get some shares and stuff in there. Wanted to go through this show. So let's run down the card. The very first match was, as always, New Japan always starts off with a, pretty much always starts off with a multi-man match. This was ACH, Chris Sabin, Toguchi, and Toa Hanari versus Justin Thunder Liger, Soberano, Tiger Mask, and Volador. I'm not sure. You know, I'm going to be honest, I didn't really pay attention very closely to this match myself. From what I saw, it was fine, I guess. There wasn't a whole lot about the show, about this particular match that I was very, very interested in. And I didn't even know it was on the card. These first two matches I wasn't aware were on the card. It wasn't on it when we predicted the other day. And yeah, so from there, we'll go on. But ACH, Chris Sabin, Taguchi, and Hanari, they all ended up defeating the other guys, Thunder Liger, the fourth Tiger Mask, and friends. And it was fine. I mean, the match wasn't bad by any means. It was a starting match. I'm a big fan, actually, of the fact that New Japan will start their shows with a multi-man match, because multi-man matches aren't something that you're looking for. And continually, I've said on the podcast, if you guys have listened, for me personally, I enjoy New Japan's booking. Because what New Japan does is they will very consistently and very effectively, they build the card from the matches that are least interesting to the matches that are most interesting. So if you come in at the beginning of the show, you're basically getting a warm-up, and you're basically getting warmed up and revved up. It's like you're slowly pushing down on the accelerator until the very top match. And that was the case with this show for sure. So let's move on to the next match with Bullet Club, which was Robbie Eagles, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. They defended their six-man titles, I believe, or something. I'm not sure if they defended those titles or not. But they defeated Great Bash Heel, which was Makabe, Hanma, and Kushida. What was interesting about this match is when the Bullet Club came out, Ishimori was out there, Bone Soldier, as you may know him, and he had crutches as if he were injured. match went along. Very interesting stuff. Very good. Kushida looked great. Tama Tonga actually looked really good in this match. It's not always the case with him, as you may know. But he looked pretty good. Robbie Eagles is fantastic. Looked flashy. Looked awesome. Looked smooth in the ring. Does not look like he fits with Bullet Club whatsoever. Just his look in Bullet Club attire, to me, doesn't work. Maybe that's just me. Tonga Loa looked fine when he's not selling things a little weird. But what we saw in this match was more development of what the Bullet Club is doing, right? So the Bullet Club has now moved back to the old school Bullet Club that we knew in the past. And that Bullet Club was when Finn was in charge of it, or Prince Devitt at that time, or AJ Styles when he was the captain of the Bullet Club or the leader of the Bullet Club. They were ruthless, they were heels, they were evil, and they did whatever they could to win. They did whatever they could to win. And that's what this Bullet Club is now. So it looked like maybe Bullet Club was going to lose this match. You end up seeing some interference on the outside. There are some kendo sticks being hit. And eventually Ishimori came in with his crutches after Bullet Club scored the victory. And they beat down their opponents, as Bullet Club used to do back in the day. So we've now effectively seen the split in New Japan. We've seen the split of Bullet Club in the Elite, and it's great. And what's another nice thing about this is it didn't feel as exhausting, that this New Japan show wasn't just flooded with Elite matches. We just had two Bullet Club matches, and we had the Golden Lovers. We didn't have anything else. It was nice. Ishimori did end up holding up the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, standing over Kushida, and that was basically why he beat him down. He's like, hey, motherfucker, I'm taking your title. And I'm guessing we're going to get that match at Wrestle Kingdom, and it's going to be real good. This show had a little bit of implications on Wrestle Kingdom. We're in that build. We're in Wrestle Kingdom season now, and it looks like it's going to be a good Wrestle Kingdom. On to the next match, we had Chaos, which is Beretta and Okada, versus Bad Luck Fale and Switchblade Jay White. This was a surprising result for me. It was one of the two surprising results of the show. I didn't expect Chaos to pick up the win, but they did. I definitely didn't expect Beretta to be the one that got the pinfall, but he did on Bad Luck Fale. Bad Luck Fale, which really just means jobber, I guess. I don't know that I have seen Bad Luck Fale win in a long, long time. But this match started off with Switchblade comes out with Bad Luck Fale. They come into the ring. That's fine. Then we see Chaos come out with Beretta and Okada. Okada puts his fist up, basically gets Bad Luck Fale to back off, and then throws himself over with a vault into Jay White. And then they start the match. And Okada's just beating his ass. Just beating down Jay White. And so we see them fighting on the outside. We see Beretta and Bad Luck Fale. We see them fighting inside the ring. This goes on. Basically, the match went that Okada was just trying to beat the shit out of Jay White. Match was very good. We end up seeing Beretta, like I said, basically a roll-up pin on Bad Luck Fale. Post-match, Jay White ends up calling out Okada, saying, I'll face you anytime, anywhere. And they did that classic wrestling thing, or you may call it WWE, but it's just a wrestling thing. Acted like he was going to go do that match right then, right there. And as any good heel does, he slams the gate, walks the fuck away, because you don't do that. You don't give the match right away. You make the crowd want it, and you make them hate you. So, obviously, this is implications to what Okada and Jay White are going to do at Wrestle Kingdom. Surely, we're going to have Jay White versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. That's got to be where they're going. And, moving on. Moving on to the next match, it was the Golden Lovers versus Kota Ibushi. And this was obviously in the build for Tanahashi versus Omega. Finlay and Tanahashi, they stuck out like a... I mean, Finley's weird to be paired up with Tanahashi. He looked really good, delivered one of the very best Uranagis I probably have ever seen. He had this guy way up there. He had Ibushi way the hell up there. We did see Kenny Omega and Tanahashi mix it up quite a bit. We saw lots of V-triggers. We saw that basically Kenny had the upper hand anytime he was with Tanahashi. Interesting to see where that story builds. And, you know, this is an intrigue for multiple things, right? Like, Kenny has the title. If Kenny goes over Tanahashi, then they clearly pushed him as the ace of the company. And if you see that Kenny loses, then I would think that we're probably going to have Tanahashi win, and then it means maybe Kenny's out of the company. We don't know. We don't know. We do know this is the feud. After the match, once the Golden Lovers did win, they did nail Finley with the Golden Trigger, because of course they did, because of course Finley was there to take the pinfall. There's no way either Omega or Finley were going to take the pin, or sorry, Omega or Tanahashi were going to take the pinfall. There's also no way that the Golden Lovers were going to lose because, frankly, Ibushi just doesn't lose very, very often in New Japan. He does lose, but not like this, not often. But anyway, afterwards, there was a little bit of a nice moment. I did put it on our Instagram where Kenny Omega grabbed the briefcase, grabs the title, and he swings it back and forth in front of Tanahashi's face, dangling it, like basically saying, you're never going to get this thing. You're never going to get this thing. And then ends up throwing the briefcase back at him, holds the belt up strong in his face, Kenny standing upright, Tanahashi on his knees. Imagery of what in Kenny Omega's head and on Twitter he's been saying is basically what it is. I'm standing tall. You're a dinosaur. Get the hell out of my company. Really nice. Really nice build. It's weird because I don't know who the heel is. I think Kenny Omega's the heel in the feud. Maybe there isn't supposed to be one. That's the only thing that's a little jarring is I know that Tanahashi said that he would be the heel. He's not. I don't know. It's a strange thing. It's a very strange thing. Moving on, we did have the Super Junior Tag League Finals. It was a triple threat. Some people were not happy with the fact that this was going to be a triple threat. But if you watch WWE and you watch the Best in the World tournament, you're probably just okay with the way this tournament went down because nothing will be quite that bad. So moving on, we had Sho and Yo versus LIJ, which was represented by Bushi and Shingo Takagi. And Suzuki Gun, which was El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and that was the setup for this match. And so we did have the very good display by Sho and Yo representing Roppongi 3K. They looked, especially Sho, just looked fucking awesome. LIJ was fine. Shingo was not in this match very much. Really, you saw mostly Sho and Desperado in the ring. Like, everything I can recall from this match, from watching it this morning, was Desperado versus Sho a lot. A lot of them facing off. I saw an amazing moment in this match, which was a powerbomb into a backstabber. One of the sickest things I've ever seen in wrestling was Sho doing that. Surprisingly enough, for Roppongi 3K, they did pick up the win. They are now the junior heavyweight tag team champions. And this match was really good. It started off very slow, but as you move into this match, it was fantastic. It was very, 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 very good as it moved on later and later. So that's what we have now, and I'm not sure where they're going to go with the tag league next, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. We did move on into Goto versus Taichi. I'll be very honest with you, it did not give a fuck about this match. Did not care about this match at all. I don't like Taichi. I'm not huge on Goto. I'm sorry that this is a little bit of a downer in this review, but they just don't do anything for me. Taichi definitely doesn't do anything for me. I think he moves very slowly in the ring. There's just not a lot here. This match started with a powerbomb or whatever Taichi's move is. His finisher is. He nailed him with that. And yeah, we moved on to having Goto defeat Taichi. But Goto was laid out for a long time. And it was jarring, to be very honest. It was weird. It was very weird to see this, like, it made it look like basically what was going to happen was a powerbomb, and then Goto was going to get counted out. The ref kept checking on him, but then that didn't happen. And, yeah, it didn't, didn't end up doing that. It ended up being like some fighting on the outside. Then we moved on to the inside and moved on to Goto winning over Taiichi, which I don't understand. I thought that we were building for a Taiichi versus that we're moving for a Taiichi versus Osprey match, but I guess maybe we're gonna get Goto versus Osprey. I'm not real sure where we're going with this. Maybe my buddy Wilfred from the Wilfred Watches podcast can answer that a little better, but in our Discord today, it didn't look like anybody was really a huge fan of this match, so I don't know. I don't know. Wasn't huge. But then we get into the big three matches, and the first one of those was Tomohiro Ishii versus Suzuki, and this match was exactly what you think it was. If you know Suzuki, if you know Ishii, you know that this match was going to be stiff. It was going to be something that was like completely different, and not different, but completely what you expect out of this match. You would expect these guys to be stiff, for them to nail each other, for them just to be throwing elbows very stiff and look like an actual, real, legit shoot fight. And that's what we got. We saw Suzuki just continually just fucking nailing Ishii with these elbows, and Ishii did an amazing job of selling. If you guys are not familiar with Tomohiro Ishii and you're listening to our podcast, you've heard me for weeks now say that Ishii is very, very good. He is very, 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 very good. Everything about him, his character is convincing, his moveset is very good. He can get up and he can move very well for a big man. I just can't speak highly enough against Ishii. We did see Ishii defeat Suzuki, and that was thanks to a vertical drop brainbuster. And I love a good brainbuster finish. Brainbuster is a great move. We don't see it a lot in wrestling, so it's a convincing finisher. Just really fantastic. This is a great match. Ishii did retain the Rev Pro Heavyweight Championship. I apologize if you listen to the podcast going into this. I thought that Suzuki was the Rev Pro champion. That was incorrect. Ishii did retain it. Man, Ishii is good. This match was, I'm telling you, it was very stiff. We had multiple displays of just striking blows to each other, just elbows and elbows and elbows. If you've not seen these two whenever they have had their tag matches, where they end up facing each other in the ring and the crowd gets really hot, it was exactly that, but a singles match. Fantastic stuff. Very good stuff. I just got done watching these two matches this morning. The first one was Tatsuya Naito versus Zack Sabre Jr. And my goodness, this match is, where do you start? This was the best match of the show. By far, far and away, the absolute best match of the show. We saw quite a bit of really, really interesting things in this match, which was a lot of counter work. And of course it was. Zack Sabre Jr. is a submission wrestler. That's his whole thing. He's long, he's lanky, he's dynamic, he can transition from move to move. It was some really good stuff, some really, really good stuff. We got to see Naito, and I saw more of Naito than I'm used to seeing. Mind you, Wrestle Kingdom in January will be my 1 year anniversary of watching New Japan and keeping up consistently. I've seen New Japan before this 2018, but just not as consistently as I do now. I saw more of Naito than I'm typically used to seeing. So we got to see a lot of smooth transitions. Got to see just how great Naito is in the ring. Just great. A highlight moment of this match, 100%, was the Frankensteiner from the top rope, which Zack Sabre Jr. did end up reversing into like a calf crusher and then a Rings of Saturn and just general Zack Sabre Jr. shit. Real good stuff. We saw multiple transitions into new submissions that I haven't seen in previous Zack Sabre Jr. matches. And my word, when we first started this podcast in January, I honestly didn't care about Zack Sabre Jr. I didn't really like Zack Sabre Jr. But whenever he won the, oh my God, whatever, the New Japan Cup, and then he had the match with Okada, and he put on a stellar match. And Okada looked really great with him, and we saw how he can work with these great wrestlers, use his style and his transitions and just his general like ring savvy to put on a great match and tell an interesting story in the ring, that's when he started to turn on me. And now every time I see Zack Sabre Jr., I like him more and more. And then he worked really well with Naito. Naito looked good. You did have Naito finally get over the hump of Zack Sabre Jr. This is the third time they faced off, and Naito lost two times. Obviously, it's Wrestle Kingdom season. Naito is one of the big four in the company. You got to heat him back up. You want to make sure that his match, whatever it ends up being, which we found out already today, we want to make sure that it is the hottest match and that he's got a lot of heat going into this show. Because you need it. You just do. You need to heat up Naito, and he needs to win because you need your crowd invested in one of their very top stars who's over like Rover, as some may say, during this match. There were two Destinos in there. The first one was a little sloppy. That one didn't finish the match. Big fan of that. The second Destino was very, very clean and ended up with the pinfall victory Naito did. And yeah, great stuff. This is exactly as I predicted. Not necessarily the aftermath of Power Struggle was not what I predicted, but this part was. So that's great. Fantastic stuff. What I take away from this match more than anything is that they definitely trust Zack Sabre Jr. They definitely see him as one of their probably like second tier stars, which is not a bad thing when you're second tier to Okada and Tanahashi and Naito and Kenny Omega. If you're in the second tier below those four guys, it could be worse. I mean, you could be second tier to Brock Lesnar in WWE or something. You just could. So you're at least to these guys that wrestle that are very good, that are in their primes, that other than Tanahashi, who's older, but they're around. They were all on this show tonight, so nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Zack Sabre Jr. is interesting in the fact that he's long and he's lanky, but he's very strong. He has dynamic strikes. They're very stiff. They're very convincing. They look like they can knock you out. It's definitely interesting to see the way that they build Zack Sabre Jr. and just his moveset and how somehow he's this like kind of physically out of place guy, but once he starts wrestling, he makes complete sense. Like, he looks like he should be a heavyweight champion one day. Again, just like with Ishii, these are two new stars I didn't know before 2018, and I'm just massively huge on them. Very, very good wrestlers. Cannot wait to see what happens with Zack Sabre Jr. at Wrestle Kingdom. Our buddy Wilfred from the Wilfred Watches podcast, he is really hoping that this means that we're going to get Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki in the World Tag League, which starts, I think, in the next week or so. And hoping that they go through, they tear it up, and maybe they end up facing off and beating Bullet Club. Because, dear God, I would love for someone besides Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa to hold those titles. I like Guerrillas of Destiny, but they don't do... or I like G.O.D. I'm definitely tired. I like G.O.D., but they don't do as much for me as I would. I don't know. I guess they could. The main event, which was shocking, Kyle and I both thought that Golden Lovers versus Tanahashi and Finlay would be your main event, but no, we did get the main advertised match, which was Chris Jericho as the Intercontinental Champion in his, somehow, even though he won this damn thing back in June, this was his first title defense. His first title defense since June. That is a really long time. That is longer than any period that Brock Lesnar went without defending it. The Universal title, I'm pretty sure. But we did have Chris Jericho versus Evil from Los Ingobernables de Japón. This match was very good. This match was expected to be very good. It was. After seeing a little bit of the old geezers that wrestled at Crown Jewel yesterday in the WWE show, and then seeing Chris Jericho is the greatest wrestler of all time. I know that we are probably not crazy about some things with Jericho right now because he hasn't defended this title in like 5 months, and it's kind of a disrespectful thing. It bothers me, but this is New Japan's decision. He's a draw. He's going to get people to watch. He got me to watch a random show live that didn't have Okada versus Omega, and I stayed up till 3 a.m. and then woke up and immediately started watching the show. So there's a reason for it. We knock WWE as wrestling fans all the time for putting titles on people that are draws and not making new stars. at least this isn't the main title, but it does kind of fall in line with that. I have problems with Chris Jericho being the champion. I don't have problems with him working in New Japan. I just don't know why he needs to have this belt. I guess if someone could fill in for me why it's not that way. Podcast of Destruction, what is up? You're talking about Tama Tonga trying to recruit a junior heavyweight into the firing squad. Okay, I'm going to answer that question at the end of this here in just a little bit. And yes, take the bump. It does feel good when I get a prediction right. So thanks for that, buddy. I see. I felt the shade there. I understood. I know what you're doing. Anyway, this match was real good. We did have Chris Jericho end up retaining the title. He won with submission, and he used Walls of Jericho, which is how you know this wasn't WWE Chris Jericho, because that finisher never finishes serious matches anymore. It's always the code breaker. I don't know if he even landed a code breaker looking back. We had some really good Chris Jericho heel stuff. It's interesting that people love seeing Chris Jericho. They love seeing Chris Jericho. But he could still get you to boo the fuck out of him. So he took a banner, and of course in a Chris Jericho New Japan match, this means that you're going to the outside and you're breaking tables, because he's done that, I believe, in every single match, which he's only had three now. So in all three of his New Japan matches, there have been table spots. There have been weapon spots. Chris Jericho, he didn't get to do that shit when he was wrestling in WWE for a long time, so he's going to take full advantage of it, clearly. It's clearly what he wants to do. So at one point, we saw Jericho land a DDT onto the table of Evil, and then he took the banner, and this was my highlight of this match. He took the New Japan banner, stood on the apron on the outside in the hardest part of the ring, and then blew his nose and yelled at Kevin Kelly. He said, "Can you hear that, Kelly, you bastard?" And it was awesome. He got super booed. The New Japan people were fucking pissed about it. They did not like it, that crowd, because he was disrespecting the logo and the crest of New Japan. Fantastic shit. Super fantastic stuff. We had a really nice spot where Chris Jericho had a chair around his neck. Evil threw him into a ring post and then grabs a chair, swings just a big baseball swing. Breaks the top of the chair he swung with, and it swung that chair right up against the chair that was on Jericho's throat. Really, really nice spot as well. It's good stuff. After the match, after Jericho taps out Evil, he continues to beat down Evil, because that is the Chris Jericho that we have now. That is who this man is. That is who our GOAT is. And after, we had Naito come in for the save. Naito called him out and basically said that, "I will be facing you at Wrestle Kingdom. I will get my rematch for that title." And as Kyle correctly predicted, it's going to be Naito versus Jericho for the IC title at Wrestle Kingdom is what it's looking like. There's a post-press conference where Jericho said he doesn't give a shit. He's not going to do that match. He's not giving the rematch, and that Naito doesn't deserve it. We're definitely going to get it. Definitely going to happen. It'll be a good match. I liked Naito versus Jericho a lot when I first saw that match. I know not everybody was really high on it. I was, however, and I anticipate that a rematch will be very good as well. So, overall, this show was quite good. I can't quite go higher than an A- on the show overall for a grade, but I can go probably like B+, A-, about where I expected it to be. The wrestling quality was really fantastic. And there's a lot to be said about New Japan. The pacing is just so good. It moves from match to match. It's a completely different presentation than what we see is in other entertainment ventures from wrestling. It treats itself like more... When you watch a New Japan event, you don't feel like you're watching wrestling all the time. You sometimes feel like you're just watching boxing. It's even the angles that they shoot New Japan at. It's the way people come out. It's the music. I mean, everything about it feels like legitimate sports, and that's what is so different from New Japan, and that's what, you know, allures people into watching the show, is that you just get something different. It's not what we're used to seeing as Western wrestling fans. We're used to seeing pageantry and gaudy entrances and everything, and we're used to seeing 20-minute, 30-minute promos during a show. We're used to seeing just 50-50 booking and all these things that we don't really get in New Japan, which is why we like it. It's why it's different for me and why I enjoy it. We're used to seeing, as Western wrestling fans, we're used to seeing our wrestling know that it's not real. But in New Japan, you forget that it's not real. And even with Jericho being this extreme character that he's designed in New Japan, it's just different. You know, it's cool. It's a lot of fun to watch. And it treats itself seriously enough that you can buy in and that you're able to escape reality and know, like, I'm watching New Japan Pro Wrestling. When I'm done watching it and before I watch it, I know that it's you know, not real, but during it, it's pretty cool. So, let me go through here and see if I had any questions. Not like a lot of questions. Let me go through, and I do see Podcast of Destruction wanted to know, do I know who else they would recruit for a junior tag team? I don't know, man. I don't know. Part of me wouldn't be surprised if somehow Sho and Yo from Roppongi 3K end up in Firing Squad, because they're the only guys that I can see them trying to, especially now that they're champs, like getting some more like credible threats to the Bullet Club. But they're young lions. I don't know. That's a good question, Podcast of Destruction. I'm not sure. I think that they are still recruiting. I just don't know who it's going to be. I see more of Chaos turning to Bullet Club is basically how I see that going. Take the Bump Podcast said one other thing. He said that the difference between Brock Lesnar and Chris Jericho is that Lesnar is as charismatic as stewed turnips, which is definitely true. Yeah, Lesnar doesn't even talk for himself anymore, so you got a different presentation as a champion when it comes to Chris Jericho than you do with Brock Lesnar. You just do. Anyway, so that is the end of this particular recap. Let me pull up my patrons here because I want to do that. So if you guys like what we do here at the Smart to Death Podcast, if you're listening to us on thechairshot.com, if you're listening to us on the Post Podcast Network, thank you. Welcome. Please make sure that you check out other podcasts while you're doing that and listening to our show. So there are other good shows on those networks as well. You can find us on iTunes, on Spotify, basically anywhere podcasts are except for SoundCloud. We have some archives on there, but there's nothing there anymore. You can support us on Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/smarttodeath. We have 2 shirts for sale. You can go to digitaltipjar.com/smarttodeath, drop a tip if you'd like, and you become a patron at patreon.com/smarttodeath. Be fantastic and become a sponsor of the show, like Brandon McKinney, Natalie Evans, Papa Suter, Robert Jackson, Shane Richardson, Dan White, 720 Wrestling, Warren Hayes, Zach Humphrey, Kevin Cito, Two Girls on a Bench, Ben Seidel, David Edge, Kelly Parker, Cameron Curry, and our newest patron, who I need to pull up here, is... One second, guys, sorry. Jonathan Pilquist. So, thank you, guys. The people that recently did an $8 donation, they will be getting shirts soon. So, if you do an $8 Patreon sponsorship, you do get a free shirt after your first... payment. So if you become a patron now, then on December the 1st, you pay $8 to us. And after December the 1st, I mail you just in time for Christmas time a new Smart to Death shirt. Be awesome. I do have one more question. Take the Bump asked me what I think about the rumors of unrest in the New Japan locker room. I think that Meltzer is getting fed a lot of shit to cause some controversy. And I don't know if I believe it. If there is unrest, these wrestlers sure don't look like they're upset working in New Japan, and it doesn't seem like anybody's phoning it in, so it's hard for me to believe that that is what's happening. Don't know, but that's going to be interesting to see what happens for the rest of this year, moving into contract season in January. So, again, guys, thank you so much for watching our show. I appreciate you joining us and watching me while I go live about the things that I really enjoy, which happen to be New Japan Pro Wrestling, and just wrestling in general. We won't have an interview on our podcast on this week, so take your time to catch up on the show, listen to other things, listen to last week's episode, This should be released on Tuesday morning. If you are watching the YouTube video and want to listen to audio only, it will be released on Tuesday morning around 8 p.m. I'll have that scheduled here in a little bit. So, thank you for joining us. Thank you for watching this show. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us and watching. And if you did not watch New Japan, I hope that this review convinced you to go and check out New Japan Power Struggle. It was a fantastic show, a lot of fun. And we're on the road to Wrestle Kingdom, guys, and it's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see what happens. Have a great night. Have a great day. Whatever time you're watching, if you want to support us on YouTube, go to youtube.com/smarttodeath and subscribe. Have a great, great Saturday and a great weekend.
For finds you won't believe and prices so low you can't resist. So what's hot for cold weather? Well, faux is fabulous. Find faux vests and jackets starting at $39.99. Those must-have faux trim bags you love, they start at $29.99. And guys, we've got the fleece and flannel you'll live in all season starting at $19.99. We're all about keeping the whole family warm. You never know what you'll find, but you'll always find something. For info and locations, visit macysbackstage.com.